You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, February 1st, and it's the worst win of the season on Thursday night. We always talk about the worst loss of the season, but I think we found the worst win of the season. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Although I'm thinking about just getting rid of all this NBA coverage and maybe starting Locked On Squash, spending some time at the Motor City Open this week. Excited about the semifinals to start tonight and the finals tomorrow night at Birmingham Athletic Club. But today, we're going to be talking about Thursday's win at Little Caesars Arena against the Dallas Mavericks. Big one. We're also going to look ahead to Saturday against the Los Angeles Clippers. Blake versus the Clippers. I don't know if you've heard, but he actually used to play on the Los Angeles Clippers. We also have some Kristaps Porzingis trade reaction from the Locked On Knicks crew. A fascinating trade out there. The consensus is that New York didn't get enough for the Zinger, but you can't trade your best player for cap space, especially when he's a really good young player, unless they know something, that is, of course. So give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And what's up to the fans in the United Kingdom? I heard you guys. I know we got some big fans in the UK there for the podcast and the Pistons. So if you are a Pistons fan in the United Kingdom, in England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, whatever's part of the United Kingdom you prefer, give them a follow at Pistons UK Group. So what's up to those guys there? The Pistons on Thursday night get the win, 93-89. What a win. What a win for Detroit basketball. But seriously, if they would have lost that game to Dallas without Luka, without DeAndre Jordan, without Wesley Matthews, without Dennis Smith Jr. after the trade and before the players from New York were able to get there, I don't know what I would have said on this podcast, but we do not have to worry about that, as the Pistons are now 3-1 against teams on the second game of a back-to-back, moving to 22-28 on the season, still 6 games under 500. And that looks like, to me, if I did some quick math in my head, Pistons are now 50 games into the season, so that must mean there are 32 to go. We know that the All-Star break always comes well after the halfway point of the season, kind of comically so, in a way. But the Pistons now 2 games behind the Charlotte Hornets for the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And we know that tiebreaker ain't going the Pistons' way, as they got spanked by the Hornets all season long. Pistons now back to a 51% chance of making the playoffs, according to 538.com's projections. The 9th on the list in Eastern Conference projections on those percentage listings in the East. They also project the Pistons to finish at 35-47, so 8 games under 500. So basically projected the Pistons will play two games under 500 the rest of the way. Like I said, I was covering squash tonight in Bloomfield Hills, but I did see the final 5 minutes of the game. I'm not going to go back tonight and watch it. Maybe I will tomorrow if I get a chance. But from what it sounds like, I did not miss much before that. But a nice finish, in particular for Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, a couple of guys much maligned on this podcast and in Pistons fan circles as well. But a guy who was not much maligned but had a bit of a rough night himself was Blake Griffin. 24 points and 10 rebounds, but was 8 of 26 from the field. But Blake Griffin's 443 points in January, the most in a single month in Pistons history, outscoring Isaiah Thomas, who had 442 in March of 83. And I believe Blake's number actually went up above that 443 by the end of the game. But at the time that he broke that Isaiah's record, he had 443. So congratulations to Blake, the most points in a single month in Pistons history. And he, as announced right as the game was getting going, Blake Griffin will be going to the All-Star game as a reserve for the Eastern Conference. We certainly expected that. His 6th All-Star appearance, but first since 2015, and first, of course, on the Eastern Conference All-Star selections. Andre Drummond is not going, as we expected heavily here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Tobias Harris was edged out. He is not going either. Although Drummond and Harris to a much bigger extent, and Drummond probably to a much, much lesser extent, you know, they got chances to fill in those reserve holes, just like Andre Drummond did last year. And we already know that Victor Oladipo won't be playing in that game. So there's one Eastern Conference, you know, replacement reserve all-star to be coming down the road. But like I said, I feel like Andre Drummond's probably quite a bit down that list. It might be, you know, he could be on that list. I'm not saying he's not on the list. I'm just saying he's probably like fifth or sixth or something like that on the list. But as for Thursday, much more impressively than Andre Drummond's season lately, 24 points and 20 rebounds on 11 of 13 shooting, a monster game from Andre Drummond. And big shots at the end, too. Some putbacks, some scoring around the basket. Humored owner Tom Gores in the post-game interview on Fox Sports Detroit. Hopefully you've seen that by now. Our boy Tom. We love owner Tom here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Maybe that's going to become a bit because I tried the last couple days to explain why maybe he's not quite as bad as you think. And maybe he's, you know, actually I kind of don't hate him as much as you guys do. I don't know how to correctly enunciate my thoughts about how I feel about him. But I know I don't hate him like a lot of you guys do. So maybe he's just going to become my boy from here on out. We'll see. But by the way, 17 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds from Reggie Jackson. Big drive late with the acrobatic reverse scoop up off the high glass and in his patented big free throws late as well. Got to give it to him how great he's been in the fourth quarter, especially in close games with the free throw efficiency there. And just some more ball handling from him that we've seen lately. Less ball handling for Blake, and it turned out to work. Again, we're talking about the Pistons beating up a G League team here with the Mavericks. I think they dressed 9 guys, basically Harrison Barnes, who's not that good himself, and a bunch of scrubs. But, you know, like everyone else looking down this Pistons score sheet looks terrible. All the wings, just nobody knocked down shots. And I think it's accurate based on the tweets I saw throughout the game of how bad these guys played. Pistons finished 9 of 33 from 3 for 27.3%. For the Mavs, 27 points for Harrison Barnes, 15 for Devin freaking Harris. Devin Harris still in the league and still dropping 15 on the Pistons. 7 for Dirk Nowitzki in 13 minutes in what will probably be his final game in Detroit City. Again, I can't imagine what this show would have been like if the Pistons lost this game, but we don't have to deal with that, and we can just kind of move on with our lives as the Pistons will take on the LA Clippers on Saturday at a 5 o'clock matinee downtown, and then the Denver Nuggets are coming to town on Monday to take on the Pistons, and then a home-and-home for the Pistons against the New York Knicks starting in New York on Tuesday, the second of a back-to-back there, and then coming back home after the February 7th trade deadline, and of course a little bit of a new look New York Knicks going forward as they make the move with Kristaps Porzingis going to Dallas. DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews are believed to be buyout candidates as they are expiring contracts, and then the main centerpiece of the move being Dennis Smith Jr. going over to the Knicks, and we'll talk about that trade a little bit later on. But up next, we're going to be looking ahead to the LA Clippers game on Saturday as Doc Rivers and the Clips are going to be coming to Detroit. But did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? Go ahead and tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we'll get that latest episode of your favorite Detroit Pistons daily podcast on there right away. Get the family to get around the smart speaker and listen to the show as you guys always do every weekday here with the Locked On Pistons podcast. So tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons. Yes, sir! So I've already screwed up a couple times on today's show, but the first one, we want to give Mason a chance to give it to us one time for a Pistons win. I also misspoke earlier and said that 538.com projected the Pistons to be 35-47. They actually project them to be 37-45, which makes more sense. As I said, they were projected to be 8 games under, and then proceeded to say a number that was not 8 games under. But that is the number 37-45 right now. A little bit later on, we're going to hear from the Locked On Knicks guys about some Kristaps Porzingis trade reaction. But the Pistons will be back to work on Saturday afternoon for a 5 p.m. matinee against the Los Angeles Clippers, who are 28-24 this season, now just one game ahead of the LA Lakers, who beat them in overtime late on Thursday night in a battle for Los Angeles. And of course, we know that LeBron James just went back to the lineup for the Lakers, so we expect that the Los Angeles Lakers will overtake the Clippers for that one playoff spot. That's my prediction anyway. Everything else will stay the same with the other 7 playoff teams out there in the West. You know, there may be some reshuffling in terms of how they finish 1-8, but I think that the teams that are in right now will be the ones that are in, except for the Clippers falling out and the Lakers coming in. Minnesota is the other team that's out right now that has a real pretty good chance of getting in there, but I'm going to say no, and say the Timberwolves miss the playoffs as well. But Pistons just played the Clips a couple weeks back. What's new about them? Well, Pat Beverley is back. He was injured the last time against the Pistons when Blake went off a few weeks ago at Staples Center. And Danilo Gallinari is out, though, so their second leading scorer for the Clippers. And it doesn't sound like he has much of a chance at all of being back for Saturday, although he will be back soon. But that's a nice little break for the Pistons there to miss Gallinari from the lineup. The Clippers had won three in a row, but then they went ahead and lost their last two, including that overtime loss to LeBron James, Lance Stephenson. I just finished watching that game on TNT, and the LA Lakers. It's a kind of a desperate spot, just like the Pistons being just inside of the playoffs, Pistons being just outside of the playoffs, obviously. But a team that's had like a similar season with Detroit, kind of a really nice start to the year, got a little bit of national publicity. But I think a lot of folks around the National Basketball Association media and around NBA Twitter kind of figured that it was both, in both cases, fraudulent starts. If you were listening to me talk about the Clippers at all, I said, I don't think this is real. They don't have enough talent to consistently win out West, and I think it's coming to fruition there, as this is a team that's positioned itself for the future. Pistons fans know that, as that's the reason that they made the Blake Griffin trade, to kind of look things down the road. Maybe things might look a little better from them. But I will say that with the developments of Thursday afternoon, with the trade that the New York Knicks made, the cap space that the Los Angeles Clippers have looks a little worse. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there with cap space. They're looking ahead to this summer, and there's not enough free agents to fill all that cap room. So you're going to have, I would assume that Tobias Harris probably ends up long-term with the Clippers. And, for better or worse, obviously a very good player and a player you want to have, but do you want to have him under a max contract for $188 million? That's going to be a difficult question. I'm sure the Clippers will sign him to that deal if they get the chance to sign him to that deal, but that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. You're going to see some inflated contracts with teams like the Knicks and teams like the Clippers and even the Lakers as well, with the cap space to burn. So you think you're going to have some guys that are not quite max players getting close to max deals, and it should be an interesting summer that's already shaping up right now with all these moves and teams out there that are positioning themselves for the summer. Now, I think the guy that I'm going to have my eye on Saturday afternoon is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the rookie point guard that we've talked a little bit about here on the air of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I've talked about recently how I think he's a little bit overrated by the basketball elite. I thought there was a lot of people that liked him going into the draft, and he climbed up a lot of mock drafts. I saw him as high as 7 on mock drafts. That didn't really happen. He didn't go as high as some thought that he would. But and he's not really, in my opinion, now, for these are from watching one full game, bits and pieces of games, and obviously keeping an eye on the highlights and everything like that, looking at the stat lines, but he's not really doing anything that special for the LA Clippers right now. And I was following the Twitter action during the game against the Lakers, where, by the way, he wasn't playing down the stretch. He didn't play at all. And that's kind of an ongoing subplot that you need to watch as basketball fans. Locked On Clippers, their Twitter handle was talking about this and kind of complaining about it, criticizing Coach Doc Rivers for pulling him early after he had made some rookie mistakes. And it's apparently something that's been happening with him, not giving him a lot of wiggle room, not giving him a lot of run down the stretch, especially in that game against the Lakers. Lou Williams kind of becomes the primary ball handler for them. And that's nice. He's probably certainly a better player, definitely a better closer for the Clippers right now. But if you're a team that's trying to position yourself to attract these big-time free agents, and that's one of the pain points that the Locked On Clippers Twitter account was making during the game, is that, yeah, cap space is great. The fact that you're LA is great, but now you've become kind of a primary competition with teams like the LA Lakers for teams like the New York Knicks and the LA Lakers for becoming these destination spots for these big-time players. And part of that is you have to have some pretty good confidence, if you're a Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or whoever you are, that these young players that you might be playing with are ready to win right away. Because obviously Kevin Durant's not going to want to go into a rebuilding situation. He's going to want to go win playoff games right away. And I know that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just 19 or 20 years old, and he's going to be obviously close to that age when they start making a playoff run if they bring in a Kevin Durant type or a Kawhi Leonard type. Well, those guys are going to want some assurances that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is is ready to go. So it might be a better move. And I know that the Clippers are kind of stuck in the spot similar to the Pistons in that they're kind of a prisoner to the standings right now and that they're in the Western Conference playoffs right now. So obviously that's a worthy goal for the current roster and the current coaching staff to go and try to get into the playoffs, try to win as many games as possible. But it might be better for them to kind of get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that late game experience, especially in a game against the Lakers that you share the city with, you share the arena with. It's a little bit outsized importance. That's about as important as you're going to get when LeBron James is coming back from injury, as big as of a spotlight that you're going to get in that type of game. So might as well better to keep him out there, see how he does, let him make some mistakes. And if you end up losing the game because he slips up a little bit at the end, is it really that big of a deal? Is it the worst thing in the world? Obviously, he was on the bench throughout the stretch run of that game, and they lost it anyway. So obviously not that big of a deal, but kind of a fascinating subplot. As we know, the Clippers are a team, just like the Knicks, going to have all sorts of cap space in a desirable market. And like I said, the summer of 2019, the free agency, the trade market, all of that is heating up already. But speaking of heating up, is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Now, next up after the break, you're going to hear from the Locked On Knicks guys about some Kristaps Porzingis trade reaction. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'll have my thoughts as well. We are a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, this is Gavin Shaw with Locked On Knicks. A little bit of big news today. Kristaps Porzingis traded to the Dallas Mavericks along with Tim Hardaway, Trey Burke, and Courtney Lee for Dennis Smith Jr., Wesley Matthews, DeAndre Jordan, and two first-round picks, one of which is top 10 protected, neither of which will convey before the 2021 season. So this sort of played out like a horror movie. If you're a longtime Knicks fan like I am, you know this is the Knicks history. Whenever something can go wrong, it will go wrong, and probably in the most torturous way possible. And that's exactly what happened today. Kristaps Porzingis, who was the Knicks' most promising homegrown prospect since Patrick Ewing, or in the last 35 years, this morning, everything was fine. He was on the Knicks. The Knicks had lost 19 of their last 20 games. They were well along the chase for Zion Williamson, and that all came crashing down because 2 hours later, it went from he's unhappy with the direction of the team to he's demanding a trade to these eight teams are interested to he's on the Mavericks, and the Knicks are getting a return that does not include a clear blue chip player that does most likely does not include a lottery pick, given how good Dallas should be going forward between Porzingis and Doncic. And it really is all about cap relief. So I guess the hope with this deal, if you're New York, is that there is some kind of off-the-record agreement that Kevin Durant and a second star are coming to New York after this season. And if that doesn't happen, then this trade was a massive failure. And there are rumors out there that KP's brother Giannis was interfering in kind of a Uncle Dennis-y way in San Antonio. And if that's true, you got to give the Knicks front office a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in saying, like, look, this was always going to be cancerous. This was never going to work out. But I don't know. I have my doubts about that. It just seems all too convenient in terms of the timing. And just given the Knicks' long-term track record, it's hard to believe that the front office didn't play some role in what's frankly a basketball tragedy. Porzingis was the guy who at least I thought was going to be my favorite Knick ever. I thought he was going to play 15 to 20 years here. I thought he was going to potentially be in the Hall of Fame. I still think that's a possibility if his body doesn't break down because he's just that good and that unique. And the fact that the Knicks, after all these years of trying, finally found that dude. There was a great tweet from former Locked On Knicks host Jared Dubin today saying, Charlie Ward was the last Knicks draft pick to sign a second deal with the team for longer than 1 year. He was drafted when I was 7. I'm now 30. And that just gives you an idea of what Porzingis represented to this franchise. And for that not to work out, whether that's ultimately on Porzingis or the Knicks front office, is heartbreaking. And that's really all I can make of it at this time. If they end up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, maybe I change my mind long term. But right now, this sucks.
Sure does. I completely agree with that. And thanks to Gavin and the Locked On Knicks crew for getting us that audio and their reaction from the trade. I completely agree. It's one of those situations where maybe there's something going on behind the scenes with Porzingis' family. Maybe there's something going on tampering-wise with Kevin Durant, some back channels with somebody else that we don't know about. And certainly the Knicks someday down the line, based on one or those scenarios or maybe something else that we don't know about, maybe the Knicks will be proven to be justified for making this move today. However, since they are the New York Knicks, we really can't give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, that's the James Dolan era in a nutshell, but we know that the Knicks are being run right now basketball-wise in part by Scott Perry, a former NBA champion with the Detroit Pistons under the Joe Dumars and John Hammond wing. So we got a little bit of a local tie there with a guy who's catching a lot of flack from this trade. But yeah, that's pretty much my reaction too, is it's bad for the Knicks unless they know something we don't. And since they're the Knicks, we can't have a whole lot of faith in the fact that they know something that we don't, because they've proven for decades that they know basically nothing. But that's my thoughts, and thanks again to Gavin for that. But to give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check out the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. I'm guessing there's going to be all sorts of rumors coming out this weekend, and when those trade deadline rumors come out, or more names become available, whatever the situation is, feel free and please do give us a call on the Google Voice line. We will play your voicemails. If you call 810-666-1546, leave those to under 2 minutes. Give your name and where you live as well. 810-666-1546 is the number to call for that. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast.